Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There are forces active today that want to destroy your kids and redefine marriage. A rising tide of media filth, immorality, and political correctness threatens the foundations of our society. Today, get set for some alarming news. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a 7-part series on reclaiming the family. Join us now for message number 6 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on countering the culture.
A little girl who is sitting next to her mother in the church noticed that the pastor was taking his wristwatch off and putting it on the podium, just like I'm doing today. And she said, "What does that mean, Mommy?" And the mother said, "Shh, it doesn't mean a thing." I believe that there are thieves that are stealing our children today. If the thieves were to break through windows and steal their bodies, we'd call the police. But because the thieves don't do that, because the thieves steal the soul, parents often do not care. And if they care, they don't know what to do. I believe that this may be one of the most anti-family times in the history of the world. Now, of course, the family has always been under attack. You've always had the church in the midst of paganism. That is not new. What is new is the entertainment industry. No generation of parents in the past has ever had to raise children with MTV. No generation in the past has ever had to raise children with violent movies filled with sexuality. And then, of course, the internet. Now, with a click of the mouse, you can have a porn shop in the privacy of your own home. Our challenges are unique. Never before in history have parents tried to rear children under those conditions. In fact, I would liken it onto a tsunami, a tidal wave that is engulfing the whole United States of America. Children purchasing cell phones that can download pornography from the satellite. And that tsunami is not only engulfing children, it is also engulfing adults and sometimes whole families. So I have to ask you today, what are you doing as a parent? What are you doing faithfully, intentionally, and unitedly to stand against a culture that wants your child and is willing to do anything possible to get the soul of those whom you love? What are you doing? A youth pastor in another church, a very fine evangelical church, told me that he finally concluded that most Christian parents do not want godly children. What they want is good children. Children who won't give them a hard time, children who won't do drugs and sex, and children who will fit in very well with all of their peers, but not necessarily godly children who will stand against the culture. Because in the minds of many parents, one of the worst possible things you can do is to expect your child to stand against what his other peers happen to be doing. And if the child can't do it, we think that is really awful because he's going to feel bad. What is it that we are after when we raise our children? Someone has said that we want independent, spirit-filled children who know the difference between right and wrong and the courage and the power to do what is right. The Bible might put it a little differently. We are to rear children who love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, and with all of ourselves, and our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's what God wants. Not just good kids, but godly kids. Today, when I speak on this, I am entering into Satan's territory. This is where he rules. This is where he is king. What he is saying is, oh, get your children. If it's not through the internet, it'll be through movies. If it's not through movies, it's the friends that your children choose at school. It'll be through drugs. One way or another, I will get your children. And I'm here today to tell you that by God's grace, we have to say, no, you won't get our children. Our text is the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God says in verse 1, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going to possess it. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Wow. God says, fathers, you have the responsibility of passing the torch to your sons. Mothers, you are included in the process. And God says the goal is to love me with all of your heart and to teach your children to love me and to fear me. That's the agenda. So how are we going to be countercultural? Never before that I can remember have I ever preached a message at Moody Church that has 11 points. 11 points. You say, well, all right. Reminded of a man who left a meeting because the sermon was long, and the pastor pointed him out just like I would if you were to get up and leave right now. And he said to him, "Where are you going?" And the man said, "I'm going to get a haircut." The pastor said, "Well, why didn't you get a haircut before you came in here?" He said, "When I came in here, I didn't need one." Here's what I've decided to do. I'm going to quit at a certain time today, whether I'm finished or not, and I'm going to pick it up next week. In fact, I didn't even make a conclusion to this message because I knew that there was no way that I could possibly get to the conclusion today. The conclusion will come next time. I know that the outline that you have says probably 11 principles. This morning I thought, no, these aren't principles. I should rename them commandments. Commandments. Now, Moses had his 10 commandments. I have 11 commandments. So naturally, you might ask the question, where did you get yours from? Well, I had a discussion with the pastoral staff, and then I sat at my computer, and I was aiming for 10, but ended up with 11. Are you ready for the first commandment? The first commandment in fulfilling this scripture, and from time to time we shall directly refer to the scripture. Some of these commandments are based on some common sense and wisdom that any one of us, if we thought about it, would come up with. The first commandment is this: be informed regarding the culture and your children's activities. Parents, do you know what movies your children are watching? Do you know who their friends are? When they come home, do you say, "Tell me what happened in school," and you listen non-judgmentally, you listen so that they can tell you, and you're absorbing it into your soul, and you're not reacting, trying to correct, trying to say this or that, but you're learning and you are listening. Listening. Are you doing that? Do you know where your child is? Have you entered into your child's life and the sphere in which your child goes to school or the friends that he has? Every once in a while we wake up and we discover that there was another terrible shooting in one of our high schools. When the parents are interviewed, they usually say, "Oh, we didn't know. We thought everything was fine." "Oh, really?" Then investigation shows what the kids were watching on the website. If the parents had talked to the teenager, if the parents had seen some of the warning signs, the notes that they wrote, if the parents had just gone into the child's room, they'd have seen the posters. And they'd have known that this child is on a very, very dangerous path. But parents say today, "Well, I can't go into my child's room." "Oh, really? You can't?" Of course, if you're a snoop, your child is going to reject that. But there ought to be some kind of a semblance of relationship by which you can say, "It is important for me to know what you are watching on the internet. It is important for me to know who you hang out with in school." And if the child does not want that to be your business, you lovingly and sweetly make it your business. Oftentimes I have to marvel at how parents abdicate their responsibility to be leaders and guiders in their homes. Yes, of course, we have a responsibility of knowing what our children are doing. But oftentimes parents think today that that is just somehow wrong for them to be involved in their children's lives. That if they close their eyes to what their teenager is doing, somehow everything will turn out right and it'll be okay. Truth be told, oftentimes they fear what they might find if they begin to take an interest in their teenager's life. Now, parents, I need to emphasize that in today's culture especially, it is important that you know where your teenager is, what he's doing, who he's connecting with. And you do that not by probing as much as by friendship, by relationship. This message is so critical because it's going to emphasize that rules in themselves have no power, only the relationships that God helps you make.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced Countering the Culture, another message on reclaiming the family. No, they did not come from Mount Sinai, but next time, don't miss more of Dr. Lutzer's Commandments for Parents. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.